Some people like change and other people don't. Somebody once said the biggest challenge with change is not embracing the new, it's actually forgetting the old. And if you've been around for any length of time, you'll know that change is inevitable. You've seen things change over the years, and that's what happens. But what about people? What about people? Do people change? You've heard the saying, a leopard never changes its spots. It really means that it's impossible for somebody to change their character, to change who they are. Even if you try very, very hard, this says you can't change. Sometimes you've heard this as a question, can a leopard change its spots? But it's speaking about our innate nature. This goes right back to the book of Jeremiah, would you believe it? In Jeremiah 13, verse 23, Jeremiah is speaking the word of God, and he says, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. This phrase is still used today, but here in this verse of Jeremiah, it's a very, very sad moment. The people of Israel have sinned so badly that God is saying through the prophet, you cannot change. It's a really difficult scripture. We are born into sin, and we share a similar prognosis as the people of Israel. A person cannot change his skin, a person cannot change his spots. This was 2,600 years ago that Jeremiah said this, and still today we use the same phrase. Is this an impossibility? Jeremiah would be familiar with Ethiopians and leopards. So as he pens this bit of scripture and as God speaks through him, he's speaking about stuff that he really knows. And if you think about the illustration, those things cannot change. But we do see people change, don't we? We have seen change happen, so is this true? I think change can be very difficult. I think change sometimes is a difficult thing. One of the challenges we face as we come to change is this little word called habit. We don't quite know how habits operate. There's still some mystery around it, but one way is through physical cravings. I don't know if there's anybody here that likes chocolate. Oh, there you go. Now you can't think about the sermon. You're just thinking about chocolate. But old patterns, old ways can almost be really tough to get past. The first time can be difficult maybe, but the second and third and fourth time can be easier. One can easily lead to many. Sometimes things that are so mechanical for us that we just do them just because. One solitary walker in a field can go almost unnoticed, but after a whole lot of people have walked for a long time, a path is well-worn and not easy to get rid of. And then we have the added bonus of sin and how sin can almost feel good at times. Somebody said, anything can roll downhill. Good is only won by effort. We know this is true. We've all tried to change a habit, haven't we? Let's be honest, we do this every year. And like the 31st, our what are those things called? Yes, you see, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We've all tried those things and then failed after 1.5 days. So how much more difficult it is sometimes to work with the sin in our lives? Paul says this in Romans 7, 24 and 25. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. You can hear the battle happening in this man's life as he tries to do what he knows he should be doing, but he slips into these other ways. But the one thing that can change a leopard spots, the one thing that we know for sure is an encounter with the one true and living God. At the Super Bowl, they play adverts at halftime, and you pay premium to get your advert played at the Super Bowl. Everybody is watching, and it's a massive thing. At the last Super Bowl, some Christians got together and played this advert during the halftime. So, quite a powerful clip speaking about what God can do in a person's life. Saves, transforms, cleanses, restores, forgives, heals, delivers, redeems, loves. There's sometimes things that we have to resign to the stuff that we have in our lives because God, I can't do anything, God can't do anything, but God can do incredibly more than we could ever imagine. So this speaks about the impossible that is made possible. We read about this in John 3, verse 1 to 7. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, You must be born again. This scripture is the great Christian answer. It's so full of confidence. Don't you just feel it? Whew. Jesus is laying out how a person is changed, how a person's life is changed from one terrible, wretched thing into something that is incredibly beautiful in God's sight. Here we find the power of Christ to change lives. And when we encounter Christ, we can indeed be changed. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard change its spots? Yes. By God's power, we can. With Jesus Christ, anything is possible. This is a very interesting verse. The beginning is this moment where Nicodemus is proclaiming who he knows Jesus to be. And then Jesus answers and changes the discourse completely. He doesn't go, well, thanks for noticing that I'm a great guy and I can do great things. He really just asks this question. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus is not expecting this. And it's almost as though he's asking Nicodemus, are you born again? If you read it, you can see he's very subtle. But Nicodemus is confronted with this reality of being born again. And he says straight away, look, I don't really get this whole thing. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And I'm sure that would be a response from anybody if somebody said, you need to be born again, and you'd never heard of this Christian phrase of being born again. But Nicodemus is right. This is something new for him, brand new. So he's wrestling with this new concept. And then Jesus gives him some more clarity in the next verse. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Whew. The power of what Jesus is showing here is that people encounter him, his power and his forgiveness are changed. He doesn't just knock out a couple of bumps or dents, and put on a fresh lick of paint. Please understand this. He does something brand spanking new. I've had the honor and privilege of being in the delivery room twice and to see a newborn baby. When you read this and you've experienced that, you know that what is being said here is truly, truly remarkable. The newborn baby, there's nothing like that. There's absolutely nothing like that. And for us, when we are born again, when we have a fresh new encounter with Jesus Christ, there's nothing like that. Nothing can compare. We are born afresh. We have a brand new start. Our lives start again from the very beginning. We change completely. And I'm just throwing in things here because I'm hoping that we can understand the hugeness of what the scripture's talking about. It's not just a pat on the back and giddy up, off you go. We were going in this direction and we repented of our sin. We said, Lord, I'm sorry. And we turn in this direction. And as we turn, we're different, completely different, brand new. We have to get that. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that you've known who's become a Christian and you can see. As you look at them, you go, there's something different about you. Something has changed. And that's what is happening. It's a new, fresh start. There's a great example in Acts 9. Great example of how this happens. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he could find any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. We encounter the great persecutor of the church, the great persecutor of Christians. They referred to the people of the way because they were following the way that Jesus was leading them. He wants these letters and he's breathing out murderous threats. He's not taking these people captive to go and have a big old party. Their fate is not great if he finds them. But then we come to verse 3. Oof, a moment where his whole life changes. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, as we would all do, I'm quite sure, if this happened to us. They heard the sound but did not see anything. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and he did not eat or drink anything. He's got this incredible encounter with Jesus Christ on the road. You can imagine the voice. You can imagine his surprise as he opens his eyes and he can see nothing. People around him are totally freaked out. But Jesus' plan includes somebody else, and sometimes this is how Jesus does work. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, Ananias has heard about Saul of Tarsus. He's not totally buying into this idea straight away. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all call on your name. He doesn't really want to be a part of this big old plan because he knows the man. Understand that it's not just some mediocre person who's coming. This is Saul of Tarsus. The Christians know him. They know his reputation. They know what he's all about. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So what does he do? He gets up. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul has this miraculous, radical moment on the road. He has changed forever. He goes from Saul, the persecutor, to one of the people that radically changed the church. We could be here today because of him going on his mission journeys. The word could have been spread through him to us. We must never forget that. He goes all over Asia Minor, Greek provinces. He is one of the strongest proponents of the Christian faith. Writes more than half of the New Testament and dies a martyr. This man was changed so radically because of his encounter with Jesus Christ. I would say that Saul had his spots changed. Can a leopard change his spots? Saul was living proof. Because of his encounter with Jesus Christ, I would say he was born again. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, we know the scripture, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. Understand that he's not quoting some theological fact that he's learned somewhere along the way. He is speaking from personal experience. When he says the old has gone, the new has come, it's because he lived that. He knows what he was and he knows what he became. Life-changing moments. Whew. Oh, well, it's been one of those weeks for video clips, so we're going to jump right in with a second one. This is really a lovely clip. What a powerful story. Can a leopard change its spots? Oof, when God intervenes, when we're pushing into God and saying, Lord, work with me, anything can happen. Even when you're not pushing into God, He can work in your life. You know, you might find this really strange, but when I was born, I wasn't placed on the steps of the church to become a minister. There was a moment in my life where I was going in one direction, not the band, not a singer. I was going in one direction, and then Jesus Christ met me and changed me and sent me in a very different direction. And if you speak to Christians here today, maybe there's a moment over coffee to just say, this is how Christ changed my life. Share your story with somebody this morning, maybe. It's a powerful thing to say, this is what Christ did in my life. Don't worry, we're professionals. It must be 10 o'clock. Oh, load shedding. Woo. It's okay. I have no more slides, so boom, there you go, Eskom. But there's this moment where we encounter Jesus Christ and he does something miraculous in our lives. We mustn't, if that was a long time ago, we mustn't forget that. We mustn't let go of that. We must remember that. We must share that because that is powerful. But he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't. He continues. If you're not having an encounter every day, every week with a living God, you need to say, what is happening in my life? Am I close enough to Him? Am I pressing into Him? Am I asking Him to change and transform me? Because we should be having God encounters very often. We should be having changes happening often in our lives. That's why we promote things like small groups. We say, read your Bible. We say, pray. We say, come to church and be with other Christians. That's where growth happens. So the change that happened in my life, that was true for me, but the change that happened in your life is true for you. And the change that God wants to do in your life today, I know is very real. I know that we're not sitting here in this church by accident today. I know that God brings us to a place and He wants to meet us and send us out different. So I'm not sure what God has been saying to you this morning during the service, during the worship, during anything, the preach at this moment. But I want to challenge you that God wants to work with people this morning, without a doubt. He doesn't want us to just wander into church and wander out and go, well, that was great. Really liked the shirt that Brian was wearing. That was really meaningful. Hey, watch it, watch it, watch it. Who let him in again? But God wants to work in our lives that we are changed, transformed, that we are growing, that we are more. He wants us to be continually becoming more like Him. That's my challenge this morning. We're going to pray in a moment. I'm not going to ask you to jump up and run to the front, But I want you to be honest with God where you are. Lord, I need something in my life. Maybe the first video clip spoke to you. Maybe the scripture about being born again. Maybe Jack's story there, just the total, total powerful transformation. Don't think about the person sitting next to you, because we got that tendency as Christians. Oh, Lord, I wish you'd just change my husband. I wish he heard this preach this morning. Amen. Who's this girl in the front row here? We've got that tendency, but don't do that, please. Don't think about the other people or think, gee, I wish my cousin's brother's uncle was here today. He really needed that message. No, no. Message is for you if you're sitting here, okay? He will work again and he will work again. As we invite him in, he will work in our lives. Be open and inviting to Jesus Christ this morning. Peter Benson said last week, I'm going to quote Peter, you'll become a better, more beautiful person. That is so true. He doesn't change us into worse people. He wants to work in our lives so that we are better and more beautiful. You see, I never added the more beautiful. That was really great because now I'm feeling great and more beautiful every day. But he wants to work in our lives. So is this true of your life? Are you becoming better and a more beautiful person because of Jesus Christ alive in your life? Are you born again? Maybe you've got to start. Maybe you've never started this journey. Maybe you've never experienced being born again. Or maybe that's what's going to happen this morning for you. Have you made the commitment to Christ? Have you asked him to forgive your sin and to be the Lord of your life? If not, then maybe that's what God's doing this morning. If you've been on the journey with Jesus Christ for a whole long time, the question is he still real in your life? Are you still pressing into him? Are you still saying, Lord, change me? We never arrive. Folks, scariest Christian is somebody that thinks they know everything. Are you still pressing into him? Are you still asking him to transform who you are? Jesus can change a leopard spots. Let him change yours. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you. What an honor and a privilege that we know the one who has done these incredible things in other people's lives, that we know you who have worked in our lives, and that we know that you still want to work. Lord, I'm so thankful that you don't leave us and move on, but that you're always with us. And that you always want more for us, Lord. That you do want to make us better and more beautiful. Thank you, Lord. So maybe right now, if you're here and you've never said, Lord, I want to be born again, or Lord, work in my life, or Lord, forgive my sin. If you've never said that, just do that quietly in your heart. Spend a moment with Almighty God, just confessing your sin, asking him to be Lord of your life, and asking him to lead you for the rest of your life. Let him transform you this morning. And if you've been in the church forever, maybe it's time to just step a little bit closer to God again. Just come into his light one more time and say, Lord, here I am. I've slipped away, but I want to be with you. Forgive me, lead and guide me afresh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.